in the home 6010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Daniel Dopp, and Stefania Bell hanging out with you on a Friday. And we obviously have one game in the books for week three. We will spend the rest of the show previewing the week ahead.
I thought you were going to say we're going to spend the rest of the show talking about that one.
Do you want to? We can if
sure.
you want. All right,
I'm
let's do it. You know, let's get right into it then, because the Thursday Night Football Recap is brought to you by Wendy's Breakfast. Buy one breakfast fave and get a second for just a dollar. Last week, we were treated to outstanding breakfast sandwiches, which staple of any good Wendy's breakfast. But I had something that opened up my eyes. I am a coffee fiend. Anybody around here knows that. And I had some of the most delicious iced coffee I've ever had in my life from Wendy's last week.
There you go.
It was delightful. For those that haven't given it a shot, this is my opportunity to tell you go do it.
Was it breakfast beer flavored?
Because I understand.
Here's the thing about.
I can't tell you how many
you
people
were
texted
so
me saying
wrong.
Like, there's no such thing as breakfast beer.
The poll was overwhelmingly in my support.
Yeah, it was just you voting over and over again. It was you and Chapin.
Isn't it weird how
you can tell Matthew's from 1844 and it's just like, we didn't drink beer back then. I mean, we did because we needed the carbs.
I'm just saying, breakfast beer is not a thing. Like, you drinking beer during breakfast, it's fine. But that's not breakfast beer. That's just beer in the morning.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, what?
Did you spend much time with the library in college?
No.
I can tell.
I did not.
Oh, really? Oh.
Oh, look at my grades. I was barely.
What were you doing? Not partying? Not at the library? You don't have a lot of excuses. All right, let's get into the Thursday Night Football game.
I'm not allowed to say what I was doing in college on air. I'll leave it at that.
Really?
That's fair.
I had a good college experience.
Yeah, prove it. Anyways, let's get to the game. The Dolphins win this one convincingly. And this one, it's not so much that I was totally surprised that the Dolphins won the game, although I did pick the Jaguars, just the way in which the Dolphins won. But let's begin with Jacksonville. I don't know about a star being born, but in terms of fantasy football, we talk often about how there are so few running backs you can trust. And it feels, Matthew, like you can trust James Robinson after 2 touchdowns last night, 11 carries, plus 6 catches for 83 yards, 30.9 fantasy points.
Yeah, I mean, they were taking away everything deep from Gardner Minshew, and the production wasn't great either. And so it was just a lot of, like, sort of dump-offs to James Robinson, who proved himself to be an adept pass catcher. I remember in the preseason, the concerns around Leonard Fournette, and there were many, but one of them was like, oh, well, Chris Thompson, the third down back. Chris Thompson barely found the field last night. I mean, like, James Robinson was a true three-down back, and the fact that he can have this kind of fantasy night in a game in which the Dolphins dominated from start to finish. I mean, they were – the Jaguars were in comeback mode for almost the entire game.
Sure.
And so you think about that and James Robinson having the kind of game that he did, to me, really impressive. This is the kind of, like – guy that wins you your league that you picked up off of waivers, or you drafted in the last round of your draft, and now you've got the starting running back of an offense that's going to be throwing a ton.
We're at the point now where we need to eliminate the fact that he was undrafted from the analysis. Like,
100%.
He is what he is, and he's the starting running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He gets most of the work out of the backfield. 78% of Jacksonville running back touches so far this season. He's a workhorse for them. It's hard to find.
I'll just say quickly is that I think one of the concerns about him in the preseason was like, well, you know, we'd heard all this talk about Divine Ozigbo, and Reichwell Armstead was considered to be the guy when, you know, the main backup to Fournette. He goes on IR with COVID-19. And then Ozigbo. And then all of a sudden, like, so it's James Robinson. So people are like, oh, well, he'll look undrafted rookie. Like, he's going to lose his job when those guys come back. No, he's not. Like, he's the guy. And I think if you were drafting today, like, I got a friend texted me this last night. If you were drafting today, like, where does James Robinson go?
Yeah.
And I said he would go in that mid-tier RB2 range. Like, he would go in that Chris Carson, Melvin Gordon, you know, if people still believe in Todd Gurley, range, I believe, in like running back 15-ish.
Don't you love, Daniel, that Matt Damon spends his Thursdays watching football and texting Matthew about fantasy questions?
That is so good.
That is really impressive.
That is so good.
You had a question.
Much like Matt Damon.
Or was it Matt take your question? Right. Damon took your question.
Were you asking me about them apples, how I liked them?
I was going to say, okay, so we've gotten to the point where, like, we really like James Robinson, right? But when you look at him rest of season, do you like him more than Todd Gurley?
Yes.
Yeah, it's close.
Do you like him more than David Johnson?
No.
Maybe not, only because I do think David Johnson is going to finish with 80 catches.
Do you like him more than Melvin Gordon?
I think still Melvin Gordon, especially with this Philip Lindsay toe situation. I agree. Right,
so it's somewhere towards the back end of the teens, maybe early 20s. Where
but he's a legit top 20 fantasy running
absolutely.
Back the rest of the way.
Yeah, I poo-pooed him way too much during the I poo-pooed the backfield too much during the preseason, thinking this team's not going to be good enough. Chris Thompson's going to catch the football too much. Through three games, he's been great. His quarterback was not as great last night. Don't know that it was entirely of his own doing. Gardner Minshew finished with 275 passing yards. No touchdowns, should have had at least one, with interception, 22 rushing yards, 9.2 fantasy points. Not just we. And I know what you're going to do here, Matthew, because this is what you do sometimes, is when you go big, you come on the podcast, you try to get super apologetic, like, you know, it's on me. It's not on you, Matthew. You know why? Because you know who else picked Gardner Minshew to have a great week this week?
Who's that?
Literally everybody who's paid to rank quarterbacks for fantasy football.
You guys get paid to rank quarterbacks?
Well, I just got a cut of Matthew's paycheck.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I am not getting paid, and if I mean to have a conversation with somebody.
I've negotiated. Right, but
that's what it is.
Okay. He told me, you're not. That's deceitful. That's deceitful.
Wow. They pay me all the money, and I'm supposed to distribute it, and I don't.
Wow.
Okay. This is awkward for us to discuss on air. But, yeah, the way it works is at ESPN, it's like, here's for everyone to rank. And then I was just like, oh, I could just tell these guys, like, they get a merit badge for it.
You know what? I am failing as my duty as Robin Hood to help distribute to all those. So, Daniel, I'll take care of this.
I appreciate you, buddy.
Look, here's the thing.
We were all wrong. We all thought that Gardner Minshew would have a wonderful night last night because the Dolphins have been bad so far through 2 weeks. Byron Jones was out. They had zero sacks going into this game. And instead, you know what happened? They got better pressure. I don't even know.
A couple things went out. So, hold on. Go ahead.
Okay. They got better pressure.
Yep.
Gardner Minshew had a couple of missed opportunities by wide receivers. Chris Conley specifically. We're thinking about you right now.
Brutal.
There was not nearly as much rushing opportunities as I thought there was going to be last night. And this game got out of hand a little bit too early. It became more predictable on offense because of the game script.
Yeah. Look, 100% you were correct in that. Not just here at ESPN, but throughout the fantasy community, everyone was on Gardner Minshew. So I get that, but I'm just going to say, like, I was wrong. I can only control myself. I was wrong. When we recorded the podcast yesterday, we did not know DJ Chark was out. That would have affected the analysis at least a little bit, but I still would have been in on him. I don't want to say that, like, I would have been. No, I mean, I still would have been in on him. I still would have said he was a top 10 play. Yeah, I mean, listen, Chris Conley had a couple of drive-killing, brutal drops.
Right.
Just, you know, and a bad penalty as well. I mean, Chris Conley had a bad day at the office.
He did.
He really, really did. Minshew missed him on the overthrow and the one touchdown that should have happened. And then they got down close and they scored a couple of times, and that's just fluky, and that ended up going to James Robinson. You know, and Minshew didn't play great. But, yes, I agree with you. I wonder if we should have thought the Dolphins were a little bit better than they were. And the, you know, like they hung tough with the Patriots for about three quarters in week one.
Same with the Bills.
Same with the Bills. Like, you know, maybe they're better than we think they are. I'm not saying they're great, but maybe they're not awful.
Well, they showed that last year. They're more competitive. It feels like they're a team that performs better when they're down and out, as opposed to a team that is maybe more being hunted. Right? I mean, they came into the year with expectations through the first two games, didn't quite meet those expectations. In fairness to all of us. To all of us, as that graphic is showing you right now on the screen, Minshew is quarterback two for the week, so we're not dead yet, folks. All right, a couple other Jacksonville thoughts here. Just LaVisca Chenault, they're trying to make it happen a little bit. I was having this conversation with Daniel and Matt, our producer, and Kyle before the show. He's a running back and a wide receiver.
Right.
But right now, he is more running back than receiver in terms of usage. Five catches for 33 yards. That's 6.6 yards per catch, if my math is correct there.
Okay.
Is that he will definitely get there in terms of more
wide receiver than running back. You said the reverse.
No, I think he's more running back than wide receiver right now. What I mean by that is
not in terms of his usage. Oh, no, you mean as a player.
What I mean by that is that, like, if you get five catches from a wide receiver, you normally expect much more than 33 receiving yards.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So he's yet to go over 40 receiving yards in the game. And I know it's only three games. But my point is that, like, I drew this comparison. It's not perfect, but has some sort of James White-like feel to him, right? In the sense that, like, he might get you five carries for, might get you five carries in a game. He might get you five catches in a game. I don't know that the 120 yards is coming yet. It'll come in time, but so far, that's the comparison that I am making right now for Laviska Shenault. Shout out Mike Clay for arguably the, I don't know what it was. It was the ist, something ist tweet of all time. Go find it on Mike Clay's timeline. Mike Clay NFL.
Thou shall not.
Bench Laviska tonight.
It was the daddiest joke of all jokes. It completely is.
That one was, as
a man who has made a living with dad jokes, right. I'm just telling you,
yeah.
That was the daddiest
was born
jokes
the
deli- of all
that
dad
was
jokes.
Definitely, like, he was visiting the OBGYN with his wife when that one came to his mind.
I just imagine Mike Clay, like, when they drafted Laviska Shenault, was like, ooh.
Got it.
Shall not draft Laviska. And he's just sitting there patiently waiting.
Let's rip through the Dolphins.
And then finally, he's just like, now's the time to tweet it. Boop. Yeah. Like, he was just all very excited.
Save that one in the drafts. All right, let's keep this ripping because we got a ton of stuff to get to today.
Disappointing game for Keelan Cole, too.
Agreed on that. Miles Gaskin may not necessarily be James Robinson in terms of efficiency, but another player that was completely undervalued, even overlooked in the preseason. No one was talking about Miles Gaskin coming into the year, and he is their guy. 27 touches yesterday.
They paid Jordan Howard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and Matt Breida.
I mean, they traded for Matt Breida.
I know, but
I mean, right.
Who's making $3.35 million.
Right.
$13.5 million invested, and neither guy plays.
I mean, like.
Other than the goal line for Jordan Howard.
And, but that's why, listen, Jordan Howard, probably one of my bigger preseason misses through three games, is because I thought, look, I mean, he does have what, through three games? I think he has three touchdowns.
Yeah, he had three carries for a yard and a touchdown.
I understand.
Night.
Like,
elite.
Part of my argument about Jordan Howard was that he was going to get all the touchdowns. So, like, he's on pace for 16 touchdowns. Having said that, they're just not using him at all between the 20s, which is shocking to me, again, given how much they paid him. He was one of the first free agents signed when free agency opened, and they paid him well, considering the running back market and where he was.
If you had the Dolphins wide receivers, I thought Devontae...
But we should talk about Miles Gaskin very quickly.
Yes, I was just going to say that he is probably, again, he's not as efficient as James Robinson, but the volume is just tremendous right now. He's a very good pass catcher. The first drive, it felt like every throw went to Miles Gaskin. He finished with five catches last night. Not great rushing efficiency. Same thing we saw last year from the Dolphins. Not sure it's going to change with that offensive line that's still developing, but he's going to find his way into probably the top 25 amongst running back ranks every single week.
And I was encouraged by they started to use him more in the red zone last night as well. So I was encouraged by that usage as well. And so, listen, Jordan Howard probably leads that team in rushing touchdowns, assuming health for all of them. But Gaskin's going to start getting more and more of those looks.
I don't think anything from the wide receivers or Mike Gesicki really stood out. I know Gesicki had just one catch, but it went for a touchdown. He had three targets. I was surprised that he was that infrequently targeted. But I think you've seen in the past 19 games since the start of last year that more often than not, he's going to have enough targets to make it worth your while. And even on nights where he's lightly targeted, 8.5 points from your tight end, it's still good enough. He's an excellent touchdown maker, is Mike Gesicki.
Is Preston Williams droppable?
I think so.
I mean, 8 targets in week one, 7 targets in the two games since he got the touchdown, but like last night. But otherwise, I was very disappointed in Preston Williams last night.
I think, again, this is one of those where am I dropping him on principle? No, but if I need the roster spot, yes, Preston Williams would be droppable. All right, we have so much to get to. There's so many injuries looming this week, so we're going to get going with the previews for Sunday. And, of course, that begins with Stefania. And, Stefania, we have all sorts of injuries to cover here. And let's get right to it because I'm not sure there's a bigger name. Well, you know what? Maybe there is because there's like 7 superstar wide receivers that are injured right now. Let's begin with Julio Jones, though, who all of a sudden looks iffy for Sunday.
Yeah, you know, he's been dealing with his hamstring since even before week one, and we just sort of write it off because Julio's known for playing through things, and he did play week one. He played in week two, but Dan Quinn said afterwards that the hamstring may have bothered him a little bit more than he let on. And now this week, Julio Jones has not practiced yet. They have indicated that they will take it all the way through the week. And if you follow the pattern of these things, as I have with Julio for years, he mostly guts it out. And Dan Quinn has this routine that he puts him through where he wants to see him plant and dig and push off and see if he has explosiveness, see if he's hesitating at all. That will be likely what they put Julio through today. So if he doesn't practice today, I'd be much more concerned because that's what they usually do on Friday. But as of right now, I think this is standard Julio Jones. They take it to the end of the week, see if he can go, and then hope for the best. He's only missed 4 games in the last 5 seasons, but we have seen him be a little bit hindered from time to time when he's banged up going into a game.
My informed expectation is that we'll have clarity on this injury by the injury report this afternoon. So I think we'll have a much better feel for Julio. But if Julio Jones sits, you know that you are playing, well, you are playing Calvin Ridley anyways, because he's been red hot. Number one wide receiver by 20 points.
I ranked him higher than Julio this week.
Ooh, I like it. It's actually not spicy. That's actually like a pretty reasonable,
that's
smart.
Going by the fact that the guy's the number one wide receiver. Say, yeah. Fantasy by 20 points.
But if Julio Jones does not play, a reminder that smart lineup decisions is informed by IBM Watson and Russell Gage, who has been awesome for the Falcons through 2 games so far this year, has a 21.9% boom chance this week. And I wouldn't be surprised if that number actually grows if Julio Jones is declared out for this game prior to Sunday. The Falcons are maybe not quite the Steelers or the Packers in terms of finding really good wide receiver. Maybe not, I should say, not quite the Steelers, but Thomas Dimitroff knows how to scout his wide receivers. I'll tell you that much. It's Julio Jones and obviously Calvin Ridley. And Russell Gage, what a find he's been. Former LSU standout, has been great for them. High volume. We expect this team to have to throw the football a bunch on Sunday. You know why? Because their defense is no good right now. They have to throw the football basically every week. So I think there's room for your room in your lineup for Russell Gage if Julio Jones sits, and maybe even if Julio Jones plays, based off what we've seen through the first 2 weeks of the season. Another wide receiver injury we're tracking very closely is, of course, Devontae Adams for the Green Bay Packers. So finding this at the beginning of the week felt like maybe less significant than others we were tracking, but what do we know now?
Well, I think it felt less significant, Field, because when he was out of that game, there was no reason to put him back in. So it was hard to tell if the hamstring injury really was something that kept him out. He was lobbying to come back into the game, or if it was just that they were comfortably in the lead and they thought, why push it? But now we have 2 consecutive days of Devontae Adams not practicing. You know, he told Rob Domofsky, who covers the team for us, that the team would be just fine without him. They played just fine without him when he was dealing with a toe injury last year. But obviously Aaron Rodgers would like him on the field. He said that they will take it to the end of the week to make sure his hamstring is comfortable, was the word that he used, that they get it just right. So again, today will be a big day to determine whether Devontae Adams can play.
All right, Matthew. So it sounds, again, I think this is one where we'll have some clarity by Friday afternoon on this injury status. If Devontae sits, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and we've already seen Alan Lazard be so solid, or semi-solid, I should say, so far this year. If he sits and you have the opportunity to pick either of them up, do you have a preference, or is this a situation where both could be fantasy useful on Sunday?
They could be. It's interesting. I didn't listen to the show with Mike yesterday and wide receiver cornerback matchups. Does he have a feel for who Marshawn Lattimore would shadow if Adams misses? I'm going to assume it would be Valdes-Scantling. But
They
may just keep him on a side.
Yeah.
I would prefer Valdes-Scantling unless I knew that Lattimore was going to shadow there. Listen, it's a high over-under at 51.5. Like, we expect points to be scored in this game here. So I think both would be viable if Adams were out. But, you know, perhaps the most viable pass catcher on the Packers would be Aaron Jones. I mean, we saw last year when Devontae Adams was out, Aaron Jones increased his passing game usage. Aaron Jones, you know, was finally freed. So I wonder if it gets distributed, right? You'll see some Lazard, you'll see some MVS, you'll see some Robert Tonyan, you know, but like
maybe Kittle.
Yeah, maybe Kittle. But I feels like none of them would be like automatic must starts. Feels like they would just be high upside wide receiver 4s, like you would feel better about starting them, but I don't know that any of them become must-starts because I feel like Rodgers would just sort of spread it around.
I was going to say, I feel the same way. Really, like, I want to be able to declare one superior to the other. Marquez Valdes-Scantling a bit more explosive, but it's hard for me to know with certainty in a not great matchup, as we've been discussing,
right,
to feel like you have to play one versus the other. All right, Stefania, well, here's what we're going to do now.
And I'm hoping he plays. I mean, just hearing from Stefania, and if we can get clarity, the other challenge here, right, is it's the Sunday night game.
Right.
So if it comes out that basically he's going to be a game-time decision, you know, that becomes a challenge as well because it is a Sunday night game. But I am sure it is a conversation we will get into in depth on Fantasy Football Now,
you
Sunday
took the
morning,
promo right out of my mouth.
10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN2. I'm a company man.
Let's go. All right, Stefania, we're going to hand the baton to you now for some back-to-back quick hitters here. And we start in that same game. We know Michael Thomas missed this past week. Could he return on Sunday night?
The Saints sure aren't giving us a hint. Michael Thomas has been listed as a non-participant. Now, Wednesday, the team did not practice, so they just give an estimation. But then Thursday, when the team did practice, Michael Thomas was nowhere to be seen. If you look at how they handled it going into Monday night, it came down to very late before we found out that Michael Thomas would be out. There's been some back and forth, obviously Michael Thomas pressing to play. I have a feeling that it could be a late word on Michael Thomas for Sunday night, but with a high ankle sprain, I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if he sits. It takes a while for this to get better. Kenny Golladay. Guess what, Daniel? Kenny Galladay's coming back. He's healthy.
Yay!
There you go.
Lions get Kenny Golladay back this week. I think that's going to help Matthew Stafford's performance, by the way. Hamstring injury obviously has kept him out for a couple of weeks, but hopefully he is going to look 100%, says he feels good. Juju Smith-Schuster has been out of practice because of knee issue, but we like that Juju's on the gram because on the gram, he specifically told his fantasy managers that he is going to play. So not to worry about Juju Smith-Schuster. And then A.J. Brown, I talked last week about the bone bruise that he's dealing with and that this typically takes a few weeks to resolve. He even acknowledged this week this is something that they need to take slow to make sure that he gets it right 100%. So no practice for A.J. Brown so far. I do not expect him to play.
Okay, so four injury updates there. Let's just quickly go through them. Michael Thomas, Matthew, missed Monday night. Traquan Smith stepped up in his absence. As we discussed on Tuesday, like it's definitely the signs would suggest, based off Monday night, that if you're going to play a Saints wide receiver not named Michael Thomas, you probably want to play Traquan Smith, but you do so with trepidation. You really just want to play Alvin Kamara in your lineup on Sunday night, and you maybe avoid all other Saints wide receivers. The Saints are saying the right things about Emmanuel Sanders, but listen, you just dealt with this. You might have scar tissue from Monday night still. We would suggest Traquan Smith if you had to choose one.
If you had to, but hopefully you're choosing someone else. It feels like, I think Alvin Kamara is the right call, and I think you'll just see some Jared Cook there as well.
Yeah.
In terms of the pass catchers. So, I mean, as somebody who plays against Michael Thomas this week, I'm hoping that I think he needs to take one more week just to
be careful. We
want Michael Thomas, who we all love,
to be
100% healthy when he comes back.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So really feel like
man
week four,
people,
come back strong, come back and be the great Michael Thomas that he is.
Got it. Yeah.
In week four.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's what
I'm sure Michael's listening to this show right now, and he will heed Matthew's advice. Let's get to some running backs. And we actually got an update earlier on today from Sean McDermott, the Bills head coach. I'm going to take this one from Stefania because he already told us what we need to know. Zach Moss is out on Sunday. He has a toe issue and sort of flew under the radar because we had 37 other injuries this past Sunday. But Zach Moss is out. Devin Singletary, Matthew, I would think skyrockets in all of our rankings. Got to figure he's a top 20-ish play based, even though the matchup is not great against the Rams, volume should be on his side.
Yeah, you would think so. And listen, that offense is obviously really clicking, right? The concern with Devin Singletary to date has been Zach Moss is stealing some of his work, and also you've got Josh Allen back there. But now with Moss out, I think there's enough work for Singletary in what should be a decently high-scoring game. I mean, the over-under is 48 in that one. I feel like Singletary is a legit top 20-ish running back this week.
Okay, I feel the same way there. We haven't seen great efficiency from either Bills back so far, but obviously when you're splitting time, it's hard to get that rhythm going. And Devin Singletary, as we discussed yesterday on the show, he had three games last year with 20-plus touches. So Singletary, adept at handling that big load, even if the Bills don't want to give him a heavy workload every single Sunday.
When he gets 15 or more touches in his career, he averages 13.7 fantasy points per game. Was solid.
Yeah, not bad right there. The Rams, the other side of that game, Stefania, I need to correct myself on two things from yesterday. One, the Rams, I think I mentioned, actually stayed on the East Coast. They went back to Los Angeles. Two, and this involves a kicker in this game. I made the grave, unforgivable error of saying that three kickers in the NFL went to Georgia State.
Yeah.
No, there's two.
Oh.
Tyler Bass went to Georgia Southern, and I apologize. Oh. I am not super familiar with the big rivalries in Georgia, and that would be akin to me mistaking a Wesleyan-Williams connection, which for those that know the greatest conference in America, the NESCAC, they know you don't recover from those kind of mistakes. So my deepest apologies to Georgia Southern and Georgia State.
To be clear, the only people that know what Field just talked about was him and Chapin. But yes, in theory, I understand.
She might not even know.
What?
She might not even know.
He may not even know. Yeah. But Leslie and Williams.
BC Eagle.
That's right. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Williams. Fighting over the last cashmere sweater at Brooks Brothers. That's the
you don't know much about Wesleyan, Williams then. Wesleyan. Yeah. You don't know much about Wesleyan. Hey, let's move forward here to the Rams running back.
Past it.
Yeah,
once.
It's a beautiful campus. I'm Malcolm sure Brown is. And Cam Akers, Stefania, both have been banged up this week. Sean McVay, as always, gives us a lot of information relative to most head coaches. What's the latest intel?
Well, if you think that the guy who had surgery would be the guy who would be unlikely to play, you'd be wrong. Because it was Malcolm Brown who had surgery on his pinky finger, didn't practice on Wednesday, and then full practice on Thursday. Imagine he'll wear some sort of protective splint, but it's sure looking like Malcolm Brown will play. Cam Akers, rib cartilage injury. These are exceptionally painful, tough to play through. Hasn't practiced yet. We'll see if he does anything today, but I wouldn't be surprised if Cam Akers is out.
Okay, so it sounds like Cam Akers could be out, Malcolm Brown could be in, and Daryl Henderson, Matthew, you have him ranked 24th. Just curious, did you, when you have him ranked that high, is it accounting for the possibility of Malcolm Brown being out or in?
Malcolm Brown in, but I thought he would get at least half the workload here. By the way, he looked like the most explosive running back there. Like, I mean, like...
No, he did. I guess the hesitation, and this is just intuitive, right? Is that, like, he looked like the most explosive running back out there in week two. He didn't play in week one, hardly, right? So it's like,
right.
That's why...
He was banged up in the preseason for the majority of the time.
Yeah.
Malcolm Brown got hot and started doing well, and so they just went with him in week one. But again, I think after what Henderson did in week two, they'll go back to him. I think it'll be a committee between Brown and Henderson. So, but the fact that Cam Akers isn't going to be there, look, if I knew Brown was out, Henderson's inside my top 20. But I'm as a, you know, I'm a flex play. I'm as a mid-tier, you know, RB3 because of the presence of Brown. Brown probably gets any goal line work there. But it's two guys and an offense that we expect to do well.
Right. I have him a little closer just because of the goal line work I expect from Malcolm Brown if they get goal line work, and the matchup. The Bills, you know, even with some injuries on defense at linebacker potentially, still a very, very good squad. All right, Stefania, make this a hybrid running back and tight end conversation because we have two Raiders that have yet to practice this week, however, per TMZ. One of them is going to be good to go on Sunday. Tell us about Josh Jacobs and Darren Waller.
TMZ. Wow. There you go. There's your source. Josh Jacobs obviously looked a little bit bothered by something in the Monday night game. Turns out he's dealing with a hip issue and has not practiced. And Darren Waller dealing with some knee soreness. That's his reason for being out of practice. Look, I'm not surprised with a Monday night game that you're going to want to give them some extra rest before going into the weekend. But it doesn't sound like either of these things really is threatening these guys' status.
Okay, sorry, I lost my IP for a second. I don't know if it's
Stefania said it doesn't look like either of these things are threatening their status.
Okay,
I'm
that's
a little
good.
Nervous about Darren Waller.
He was the one. He told TMZ. That's why that was the TMZ reference.
Yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
said to TMZ, I'm good, I'm playing on something.
Yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
for what it's worth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm nervous about Darren Waller in this sense. So maybe not 100% healthy. I agree with you. He's playing, right, obviously. My concern is that although he's playing, he's banged up. And I just think, like, if you're Bill Belichick.
Let me guess where you're going. I know, but it didn't work last week.
What do you mean?
In terms Patriots of, got carved last week.
Oh, yes. All due respect, Derek Carr isn't Russell Wilson.
Okay, I'm just saying. I'm just, you know, like
he was in Seattle versus New England. I don't know. Look, I can't imagine benching Darren Waller, but do I think there's a chance Stephon Gilmore spent some time on Waller?
I don't think so.
You don't?
No, I don't.
He's done that before.
I think Williams is going to be on him this
okay.
week.
Okay.
Yeah.
He has
maybe.
Done that
I could
before.
Be wrong.
Belichick has done that before, though. He's put Gilmore on like when the tight end is like the best guy they have.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but you could be right because you often are.
I'm just thinking if I'm Belichick and like what do I know compared to him? But like
a lot.
Not compared to him.
You're a little wittier.
No, I might not be. Honestly, I don't think there's anything in this world that I know more about than Belichick. The point is that I just sort of feel like if I'm looking at them, I'm just like, you know what? Henry Ruggs ain't 100%. Brian Edwards has been inconsistent. Hunter Renfro, whatever. Like I'll take my chances with those guys. Like I'm going to put my best defender on the guy that bails out Derek Carr every third and six, every third and eight.
Fair enough.
I don't know.
No, listen, at the end of the day, though, by the way, like he plays, you're playing him. So the conversation obviously intensifies if something changes between now and Sunday morning.
Right.
George Kittle, Stefania, we know it's been, he has traveled at least to the Greenbrier, which is good. He's been limited in practice this week. Do we expect the 49ers, who have called Matthew to see if he's available on Sunday, do we have any expectation about whether George Kittle will play against the Giants? Yay or nay?
We're not that desperate yet. Matthew, sit tight.
Wow.
George Kittle, look.
Good.
limited, as you said, Field. And this is a heavy question for the 49ers, right? Because dealing with an MCL and a bone bruise injury, you got to be careful with these so it's not something that gets worse and then ends up being problematic all season. We know that there was some question about the turf out at MetLife Stadium. There was an additional inspection of the field where representatives from the NFL and the NFLPA were present, and the field checked all the boxes, so it's good to go. Nothing's changed there. But I think the 49ers have a big decision here. George Kittle wants to play. There's no question about that. They need him on the field. Jimmy Garoppolo is likely to be out. You got Raheem Mostert out as well. And the question is going to be, is it worth putting him back on this surface at less than 100%? Because clearly he will be less than 100%. Rather than wait until you get home and have him on grass and give him another week of recovery. So it could be a game time decision.
Follow that one on Sunday morning. Obviously, we'll have plenty of information on Fantasy Football Now. Again, if he plays, you play. Let's get into the Chargers.
Jordan Reed, though, was very impressive, even in limited snaps last week. Obviously scored twice, and he would be the guy if Kittle is out. And so maybe somebody worth stashing. I've seen him still available in a lot of leagues out there.
Let's get through the Chargers. We know that Justin Herbert's going to start on Sunday. They're 6.5-point favorites against the Panthers. Panthers, very bad defensively, Matthew. The value, we believe, for all of these Chargers goes up this week. Austin Eckler, you're starting him. Much better last week, obviously. But Josh Kelly actually makes your love list here. What's the thinking behind Josh Kelly being inside your top 16 for running backs?
Okay. Josh Kelly ranks sixth so far in carries this season.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 35 carries. Like, despite being the, quote, backup running back, they're using him a lot. It is still a run-heavy offense here, right? He actually out-touched Austin Eckler 25-20 last week, and they're using him in the passing game some as well. Like, and so it's not just a either-or kind of thing. And then you love this matchup with Carolina, you know, who got run over for three touchdowns by Josh Jacobs in week one, got run over by Leonard Fournette and last
Sensing
week.
A theme here.
Right. I mean, just like you can run on the Carolina Panthers. And so on a run heavy offense, you've got a guy that has 35 carries through 2 weeks, getting one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. Don't know that it's rocket science. Sometimes fantasy football doesn't have to be that hard.
Mm.
I think Josh Kelly's a start this week.
Gotcha. Yeah, Neil Tyson DeGrasse can confirm that.
Right.
How about the wide receivers, though? I've got Keenan Allen inside my top 20. You and Daniel are cowards. You won't rank him inside your top 20. You wish you had?
Yeah. I mean, I am at 25. The only question with Keenan Allen here is touchdown equity. Does he get it here? Do they get up big? Do they need to not throw? Because, again, they've been run heavy so far. I think they're going to be winning this game, and I think they might be winning it fairly handily.
Yeah.
So, you know, just his volume there for Keenan Allen. Does he get into the end zone here? But make no mistake. You know, he was a guy that when Herbert came in, suddenly went way, way, way up. You know, went up, his target share went up over to 32%, up from like 25% the week before under Tyrod Taylor. You know, targeted on 31% of his routes. You know, like his value, the passing offense value went up.
I'm looking forward to Justin Herbert.
You said you wanted him. You have him inside your top 20. You're very excited about Keenan Allen.
Yeah, you kind of made the case for me. I mean, 32% target share. He's a star receiver making $20 million a year. And the quarterback he played with last week looks super impressive. And the passing offense might be a lot better than we realize.
Right.
300-plus passing yards last week for Justin Herbert. Like, this could be a really good passing offense in a hurry.
Yeah,
Daniel, anything you want to
I'm at 25. I mean, I'm at 25, and he may rise up a little bit. He'll actually rise up once I take even the, you know, so borderline top 20 for me too. We both like Keenan Allen this week.
Is this one of those, and I realize this is maybe not the right spot for it, but like, is this one of those fortune favors the bold? Like, go out now before you see it multiple weeks in a row with Keenan Allen and make an offer to the manager that's in your fantasy league because you think there's more meat on this bone than obviously what we've seen through the first 2 weeks.
I don't know that people who have Keenan Allen are that disappointed with him so far, though. Because, again, draft discount because of the quarterback that he had going into the season. And second of all, like, pretty good last week. And it wasn't deplorable in week one, right? I mean, it wasn't Keenan Allen's normal standards. But versus other wide receivers that have been, that were drafted around him that haven't been that great, I don't know that he's super disappointing.
I think the time to do that was before Justin Herbert was named the starter.
Yeah.
Monday.
It was Sunday. From like 4:18 to 4:25 when the game began, that was your 7 minute.
That was your window there.
Yeah. Well, there was like talk for 2 days, like, and we said this. We said this on the show, and we said it on social media. We're like, I know he's saying Tyrod Taylor's going to be the guy if he's 100% healthy, but let's be clear. Tyrod Taylor's never going to be 100% healthy, which is what happened, obviously. They know they've got a better chance to win with Justin Herbert, and they're just trying to be, you know, mindful of the veterans' feelings, but stop it. Just stop it.
All right, we got a couple of live reads here. We'll be back with a bunch more banged-up backfields to work through.
Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money GEICO could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? For Field to get a trivia question wrong? Psh, keep waiting, guys.
Never.
Because that's probably not going to happen.
I think that happened yesterday.
Stop it.
Oh my gosh, get off my lawn. As great as that be, it probably never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to GEICO. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
If you're missing the fun of the ballpark right now, you're not alone. But just because you can't be in the stadium doesn't mean you can't bring that classic ballpark feeling home. And the best way to do that is with Ballpark Buns and Rolls. Ballpark and the ballpark go together like baseball and summer. They're an American pastime and America's favorite buns and rolls. They're an essential part of celebrations big and small. There's nothing worse than your bun breaking under that pressure. Guess what? Ballpark buns and rolls never fall apart. They're always freshly baked, always soft, and always delicious. Ballpark buns and rolls are a great way to get a carefree taste of summer any time of year. Whether shared at a backyard barbecue, fall tailgate, or any manner of celebration year-round, you can't help but enjoy yourself when enjoying a ballpark bun creation. So next time you're picking up essentials for grilling, tailgating, a little slow cooker action, or a nostalgic night in, make sure you grab Ballpark buns and rolls. Find them wherever you grocery shop. All right, some backfields that have been banged up because of injuries recently. We've been talking about them all week, but let's get into sort of our last final thoughts before fantasy football now. And we start with the Giants, Matthew. Devontae Freeman's going to wear number 31, and it sounds like he could play on Sunday. But if you were to rank the Giants running back, not for you.
Right. I mean,
you're not going to
play for the New York football Giants.
Right. He won't play for you.
So he won't play for my fake football team.
We both believe that Deion Lewis is the Giants running back that you want to play this weekend. Remember, he had 10 carries last week. It wasn't great efficiency, only 20 yards, but a very good wide receiver, or I should say, very good pass catcher. He's been that for a while now. We saw it with his Patriots days and for blips with the Titans as well. He's the Giants back that we want going into Sunday. We'll see if Freeman even plays, but it's hard to envision him getting more than what, spot duty, like carries maybe?
Yeah. Deion Lewis is a nice pass catcher. He's a nice pass catching running back here, and the Giants are going to be looking for ways to throw the ball. I don't think they're going to be able to effectively run the ball in this game due to the issues with their offensive line, due to the talent that they have in the running back, due to the 49ers defense, which despite being insanely banged up, is still a decent defense, even with the guys they have out there. It is obviously not what it was last year because they have a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball. But I still think it's going to be a, you know, better than average defense, especially against the Giants in that offensive line. So I think the way they're going to move the ball with running backs is with, you know, quick out passes. And so I think Lewis is the guy most likely to get that on Sunday.
It's hard when you have a night like last night with like going all in on a player and him not meeting expectations. You want to kind of like, you know, sort of temper expectations going forward elsewhere for the week. But feels like Mike Davis is the running back that was added this week that we have the most hope and optimism for. He's a very good pass catcher. They play the Chargers. They are a good defense. But as we've talked about throughout the week, Matthew, Teddy Bridgewater, not a no risk it, no biscuit. He's a risk it, biscuit quarterback.
Yes.
So instead, you're going to throw the football short and you're going to throw the football to your running back frequently. Mike Davis could be in line for maybe 4 to 6 weeks of this.
He got 8 targets in basically a quarter last week. I mean, like,
and all eight were caught.
They were. He ran 18 routes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a team that has been top 7 in running back targets every year since they drafted Christian McCaffrey. Again, like it's part of their mindset, and we just talked about how bad their defense is when we were talking about the Chargers. Like, they're going to be trailing in this game. When they're trailing, they're throwing. And then you also think about sort of like how good that Chargers secondary is, right? And when you've got, you know Casey Hayward out there shadowing, and just my guess is that Justin Herbert's going to be like, Teddy Bridgewater's going to be looking around going like, let me dump it off. Let me dump it off. I got no
number
one
28,
else.
28, baby.
Yeah. So I think Mike Davis is a top 20 guy. If you're watching this at home, you see it I'm at running back 19. I have him higher than Fielder Daniel, who for some reason don't seem to like Mike Davis.
I've got him at 20. Insulting. There was some thought that maybe Curtis Samuel would get some run at running back. He, of course, was a running back for part of his time at Ohio State. He was kind of like Paris Campbell, used in a bunch of different ways, more running back than wide receiver, of course. It sounds like by his own admission, like that's not really going to happen this week. I don't know if that maybe he's being coy, but it sounds like this sounds like it's Mike Davis's job. Like the Panthers have been pretty transparent about
this. I would agree with that. I mean, there was some conversation. I think Joe Brady was quoted as saying he wants to figure out ways to get Curtis Samuel more involved, that when he touches the ball, good things happen. Hard to see if that's, coach speak versus actual intelligence that we can act upon. Like, I don't know that I'm starting Curtis Samuel this week if I wasn't prior.
Yeah.
And I wasn't prior.
Right. I think the reason for bringing it up is less about Mike Davis and more about Curtis Samuel as
Correct.
You are evaluating right now.
Yeah. Like, to me, you're starting Mike Davis, obviously. You're starting DJ Moore.
And maybe Robbie Anderson.
Robbie Anderson has a very tough matchup, but he's been so red hot. I certainly get it. Depends on who else you have there. But Robbie Anderson certainly in that conversation. And I think that's about it. Like, I'm not feeling a lot of confidence in Ian Thomas this week.
Hasn't happened yet.
Yep.
I
don't think you're starting Curtis Samuel, and you're not starting Teddy Bridgewater except in like a deep two quarterback league.
Two NFL legends enter, only one man emerges, and the two legends I'm referring to, of course, Matthew and I, never dropped a pass.
Obviously,
neither of us ever dropped a pass in our NFL career, but we have sort of not super large discrepancy, but a discrepancy of sorts between Jerick McKinnon. You feel a little bit more confident, as we've discussed throughout the week, that his workload will be bigger than what I'm expecting. I just keep coming back to the idea that, two straight years of, not playing because of injury. He's only had 6 total touches in each of the first 2 games, but he makes your love list this week.
McKinnon does. I mean, so first off, what I would tell you here is that I don't know that McKinnon's workload is bigger. I just think he has the better fantasy day. I think Jeff Wilson Jr. is the guy that runs the ball between the tackles for the majority. Like, he probably touches the ball more, right? And he's going to be the, quote, starting running back of the 49ers. And by the way, he's out there in a ton of leagues if you're looking. I just think McKinnon will be involved in the passing game a lot more. And I think that, again, when you think about, I'm not expecting Kittle to play in this game. The rest of the pass catchers in San Francisco, Brandon Ayuk is still trying to find his way into the field, and you got Jordan Reed, who can't play a full complement of snaps, and they just, Kendrick Bourne, and like what? I just think McKinnon, who's been very productive fantasy-wise the first 2 weeks on limited touches, will see an increase in touches. I'm not saying that he's going to lead that backfield in touches, but I think he gets an increase in touches in a very good matchup with a Giants team that has struggled. They gave up 113 rushing yards to Benny Snell, right? They gave up 127 yards and a touchdown to David Montgomery last week. Like, these aren't world beaters, that have been able to run the ball and have effective fantasy days against the Giants. So, yeah, give me some Jerick McKinnon this week as a top 20 play.
Two wide receivers that we need. We need them. We need them. You know who else needs him? The grandmama. That's right. T.Y. Hilton's grandma
spoke to
him on Monday
Like, are we going Larry Johnson?
What's going on here?
Larry Johnson might have them both on their fantasy
team. Did the fun police just all of a sudden show up?
What just happened there?
Loving Larry Johnson.
Very obscure old NBA commercial.
But
thank you very much.
T.Y. Hilton spoke to his grandma, and she said, I don't recognize you from the first 2 weeks. And a lot of us out there in the fantasy community are like, preach, grandma. But he and Michael Gallup have excellent matchups this weekend, Matthew. Let's start with Gallup. The Cowboys go to Seattle. But as we discussed yesterday on the show, every wide receiver facing the Seahawks so far this year has feasted. 50 catches allowed so far to opposing wide receivers. Can Michael Gallup get it right this week? And can T.Y. Hilton get it right this week? Do you have one that you think is a better bet to go crazy this Sunday?
I think T.Y. Hilton is, somebody that I would prefer to Gallup. Look, I like both guys, right? I like both guys, both of the... both those struggling guys, right, for me. So let's start with T.Y. Hilton, right? This is a guy that was targeted on 21% of the routes. You figure an increased role for him, right, in terms of because Paris Campbell is out. Paris Campbell is out. You like the matchup. You absolutely love the matchup against the Jets, who have just been so brutal on defense so far this year. So look, they need
they need T.Y. Hilton to get going. So I feel like Phillip Rivers makes a point of getting it to him. The grandma thing is a fun little narrative, whatever. But whatever it is, whatever it gets in his mind that he needs to get going. So no, I do
it's
think, look,
it's cute. Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton is going to be the number one wide receiver on an offense that we think is going to be very effective against the Jets. Michael Gallup, listen, I still believe in Michael Gallup. It's still an offense you want a piece of. It's a red hot offense that clearly is going to be throwing quite a bit. The concern, the only concern with Michael Gallup is that, by the way, Amari Cooper has a great matchup. CeeDee Lamb has a great matchup. So he's one of three guys there. And by the way, Dalton Schultz also has a great matchup. Like, we've talked about this a lot. Like, again, Michael Gallup had like a 50-yard OPI called on him, very ticky-tack in week one. And I think if that doesn't get called, his numbers look a lot different. And the narrative around him changes somewhat. I'm still a believer in Michael Gallup. I think both guys get off the schneid this week.
If they don't, healthy conversation coming next week on the podcast, because players that we have a lot of expectation for, and this is an ideal scenario on Sunday. We're calling this sustainable or unattainable in week three. It's pretty obvious what the premise of the segment is. Let's go through these. Matthew, Josh Allen, and the Bills host the Rams on Sunday. Will Josh Allen be a top five quarterback? He's been quarterback two through 2 weeks.
I would say no.
Okay.
Like I don't know that he's a top five quarterback.
But
I have
close.
Him right now. But yes, I think he's red hot. Like, there's a guy that has, you know, at least if you know, multiple touchdown passes, five is his past eight full games. He's, you know, had at least one 15-yard rush, you know, so the rushing keeps his floor pretty high. The thing about Josh Allen is that we know about the rushing. Like, you came into the season knowing, like, look, this is a guy that can run, that obviously can run and do very well. What you were, the knock on him was like, how accurate is he? You know, and look, I was pro Josh Allen in the preseason, right? He was on the preseason love list as well. This is somebody that I'm just like, look, Cam Newton, I remember saying this quite a bit in the preseason. Cam Newton's never been the most accurate guy ever. And Cam Newton, I believe, is like the second best quarterback in fantasy since he came into the league. And so, but a funny thing happened on his way to inefficiency city. They got Stephon Diggs. And all of a sudden, whether it's Josh Allen, you know, being another year in the league or just having a really talented wide receiver on his offense, Josh Allen has become much more efficient, much more accurate. The legs and the rushing volume are still there. Josh Allen is the real deal fantasy-wise. And I know people are going to argue that he's beaten up on two bad teams in terms of the Jets and the Dolphins, although we saw last night the Dolphins maybe not as bad as we think they are. But against the Rams, yeah, give me some Josh Allen.
Also,
but
that's what you're supposed to do against bad teams. Like, this, I hate the narrative where it's like, okay, but they played bad teams. Like, that's what good quarterbacks do. You beat up on bad teams. So when you don't beat up on bad teams, that's when it's a discussion point.
He's quarterback two.
I know.
He's quarterback two.
He's so good.
Quarterback. Anyways, so along those lines, you mentioned Stephon Diggs, his arrival. Of course, we expect big things for him this weekend. But Stefania, John Brown has been lights out as well through 2 weeks, but now he's a little bit banged up. What do we know about his injury status?
Yeah, he was added to the Thursday injury report with foot soreness, but McDermott said he's, quote, trending in the right direction. You might wonder how somebody who's added on Thursday is trending in the right direction. But if you go back to last week, he actually was on the injury report and didn't practice on Wednesday because of foot soreness. And of course, turns in that performance 4 for 82 and a touchdown. So I think it means overall they're managing his reps in practice, but clearly he's expected to play.
Okay, that's good. I think the one thing we're monitoring in this matchup, we did not bring it up with Mike Clay yesterday on the show, is just if Jalen Ramsey were to shadow, who might it be? That being said, we've seen some wide receivers have relative success so far. Not great, but relative success against Jalen Ramsey. I believe when he's been the primary player in coverage, he's allowed 9 catches so far through two weeks. So this is not, you know, this is not a total of fade for a player of Stephon Diggs' caliber, for example.
But lower than he might normally.
Yeah, maybe a little bit lower than normal.
Maybe a little bit lower, lower expectations. If John Brown were not to play this game, you know who's just an interesting name? Like, you're not picking him up, you're not starting him, unless in a deeper league. But I just want to put it on people's radar. Gabriel Davis.
Mm-hmm.
They like him a lot.
Yeah, he had a beautiful catch this past week.
He had a beautiful catch. He had a great camp. I just know that Buffalo is very high on Gabriel Davis. And so just a name to sort of file away so that, you know, you just sort of hear it. And like in a deeper league, I've picked up in a couple of deep leagues. I have him in the Dynasty League that you, me, and Secret Squirrel are all in.
Yeah.
I've had some injuries in that league. I'm already looking towards next year. It's been a tough go of it so far.
Mike Clay did text me, by the way, mid-show, and note that while the Patriots did rely on Jawan Williams in week one to cover Mike Gesicki, it's not totally unprecedented that Stephon Gilmore could shadow a tight end. He did play some snaps against Zach Ertz last season, so we'll
Thank
see.
You. Thank you, Michael Clay. You see?
He's saying it's possible it could go either way. One of us could look really smart on Sunday. Or not, because we don't often look very smart.
I was going to say.
A couple last ones here.
Even if we get that one right, I'm sure there'll be plenty that we get wrong.
We're believing it or not believing it. Kareem Hunt over Nick Chubb, or excuse me. Yeah, we both have Kareem Hunt ranked just a couple of spots behind Nick Chubb. I guess the question, Matthew, is that they've been so good so far, excellent after contact. Like, how many weeks do we need of both of them being effective enough to buy into the idea that, like, we no longer worry about the fact that they both are in the same backfield and we just set it and forget it?
I think we're there.
Okay.
So it's talent and opportunity, right? I mean, we both agree Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are talented running backs. I mean, like, that's, to me, I feel like asked and answered based on what they've done throughout the NFL. Yeah.
Confirmed.
So now it's just about opportunity. And so, honestly, like, I mean, you hear Odell Beckham Jr. saying, like, I may not have as big a year because we're so run heavy, right? And they do want to be run heavy. And, oh, by the way, Baker Mayfield's been inconsistent. How do you solve for that? Don't let him throw. Like, and by the way, what did Kevin Stefanski do when he was in Minnesota? They ran the ball. Like, I think that there will be some down games for Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb like there are with almost every player in the NFL. But do I think these guys both get enough work in this offense and are productive enough that they're both very viable RB2s or, in the case of Hunt, maybe a high-end flex? I do.
Yeah, especially this weekend against Washington, who 100%. Has an excellent front seven, we know, but we don't think they're going to score a ton of points. So game script should work out favorably for the Browns to run the football.
Browns are a touchdown favorite.
Plenty. Yeah. You sound confident. Leonard Fournette had a great game for the Buccaneers this past week. They now play the Broncos in Denver.
Right.
Daniel, you've got him inside that top 20 still. And we've talked about this quite a bit.
Yeah,
I think it just comes down to, like, do we want to be one step ahead of the curve in declaring Leonard Fournette the guy in the backfield, or are we going to be 1 week too late? You're willing to be probably a week, potentially a week early.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to be a week on time. I mean, if you want to look at it that way, that's why I have him at 17 now. But if you guys want to be a week late, I totally understand it. But listen, I understand there's merits on both sides of the argument. I think this is more narrative than it is about anything else. So, like, totally understand. We all have him in that same, you know, within five or six spots of each other. So.
Okay. Leonard Fournette nearly, so he's inside of our top 25.
Daniel believes in him so much. But you know what Daniel did yesterday?
Dropped him?
No, he traded him. He did a weasel move. Tell me if this is a weasel move. I'm just curious. I want a quick judgment here. Yeah. Very quick judgment here. 30-second story here. We're on the set of the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, which, by the way, there's a new episode out, right? So go check that out. Of course, I'm a company man. So we were on the set of the fantasy. Give me the drop.
I tried to. It said had to connect. I don't know.
Anyway, so yesterday, Daniel and I are taping a new episode, the week three preview show, love hate show of the fantasy show on ESPN Plus. And I mentioned, because we have a show league of all the people that work on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, says, hey, I'm running back heavy in this league. Like, I have actually both Chubb and Hunt. I have James Robinson. I have Ezekiel Elliott. Like, I am up to my eyeballs in running backs there. And I'm like, who needs a running back? Anyone on the show need a running back? And Ed Eck, our head producer, says, oh, I need a running back. I need a wide receiver.
Okay.
Like, okay, great. We should talk. Then next thing you know, Secret Squirrel sniped me. So next thing you know, I get an alert on my phone. Secret Squirrel has traded Leonard Fournette to Ed Eck. Like, didn't pipe up and say, like, oh, I've got some running back depth, too. I could use a wide receiver. Just, you know, I mean, like, just very, very weasel.
Real quick.
So semi-weasel.
So here he's talking about how much he loves Leonard Fournette. But not only did he trade him away yesterday, so he doesn't believe in him that much, but also he sniped me.
Let me say this. Go ahead. Slimy squirrel.
I traded Leonard Fournette and AJ Green for Chris Godwin. And I have good running back depth. So, like, Leonard Fournette was a flex play or a depth guy for me. I think I upgraded my starting offense, and I think I'm good to go. I don't feel bad about it at all.
My big takeaway from this story is that your description of, like, quick story 30 seconds reminds me of when my parents were late to pick me up from school. I'll be there in 5 minutes. Like,
well,
half an hour later, I'm sitting there by myself.
It was like 20 seconds me waiting for the dumb drop.
Oh, my gosh.
Me waiting for the dumb drop.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, defenses, maybe. Oh, no, we're going to get trivia in just a few minutes, but first, a couple of live reads. Daniel, you start.
From the moment they're born, you do everything to keep your kids safe. But who's looking out for you when you're looking out for them? The Volvo XC90 SUV with advanced safety technology helps look after you. From the standard blind spot information system that watches your sides and can steer you away from merging traffic, to the standard cross traffic alert with auto brake that watches your back and can automatically apply the brakes for people and coming and oncoming traffic as you reverse. It's nice to know that someone is looking out for you. It's the XC90 for everyone's safety. Visit volvocars.com/US to learn more.
When it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against some obstacles, like lots of applicants, but the difficulty finding the right ones for your job, or finding the time to hire while running your business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety. That's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team. No matter the industry, healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. First, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent to over 100 top job sites. Then, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles for you to find people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. In fact, check out this stat. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add your ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Field, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How is it that the Arizona Cardinals defense is not rostered in 100% of leagues with the matchups they have coming and how many times we've talked about them on the podcast this week?
It's a good question, Daniel. That being said, they are playing the Lions. They're going to lose on Sunday, are the Cardinals?
Oh, that's right.
I've said this many times.
You're right.
So. My logic there, here's the way, my logic behind that pick, by the way, is that, first of all, it makes no sense. That's why I'm picking it. And I also love Daniel Dopp. The third thing I will say, and you can check the stats here, Daniel.
Yep.
There have been, I would say, 2 or 3 notable instances where under Matt Patricia, the Lions have laid an excellent game plan against an offense that previously had not seen much resistance. I think first to the Rams, the year they made the Super Bowl. They played very well against the Rams. They did not win that game, but they played really, really tough. They played really well against Tom Brady in the, I think it was the week Patriots the Patriots game. Got Josh Gordon, right?
Yeah.
And the Patriots were not the same level of offense, but still. And then last year, they should have beat the Chiefs. They should have beat the Chiefs. It was like a wild fourth quarter comeback. That should have happened. Before we have social questions, can I mention something that's like really dope, really cool?
Yeah, real quick.
For those of you that play the crossword on New York Times, you may notice that the 06010 made the New York Times crossword today. How about
Wait,
that?
What?
Yeah, pretty
we
cool,
did?
Huh? Yeah.
Very cool.
Very cool. It is, let me go pull the hint, 53 down, quote, fantasy-focused podcast error.
By the way,
error isn't like A-I-R-E-R, not error like mistake.
Right.
By the way, first of all, this is for some of us who aspire to be, like Mina Kimes is brilliant at the New York crossword and posts her times. I would never post my times, and I do it in pencil, not pen.
Right.
But let me tell you, coming in on a Friday crossword puzzle.
Is that a big one?
Yeah.
Like, I know nothing about crosswords, but I know that, I think that's a big deal.
As the week goes on.
Very, very cool. We're appreciative of that.
We appreciate the New York Times crossword puzzle. You know who's a big, Mina's really big, and you know who else is? Robert King.
Rob King, that's right.
Rob King, our buddy.
Rob King went to college?
Wesleyan?
Yeah, you dang right. He went to Wesleyan. Go Birds.
I know a lot about Rob King, but I did not know where he went to college. But anyway, Rob King's a big muckety-muck here at ESPN and a big supporter of fantasy and what we do. And so, and he's a big crossword guy.
Yeah, so I'm sure he got that one. Nailed it.
So anyway, that's pretty cool.
Here you
that's
go, guys.
Very cool. Good for us.
Going to close the show out here. I have a trivia question. Matthew Berry, make all sure right. you have your
no,
thing
check
ready.
Out. Yeah, by the way, check out my love-hate, by the way.
We will.
Check out my love-hate on ESPN.com. We didn't get to all the names, but anyway, you can go read the names.
Okay, Daniel, what do you got?
All right, here we go. In the Friday trivia question, it is in the 2019... white knuckle action pack thrill ride adventure Avengers Endgame, the highest grossing movie of all time, a dorky web-toed unnamed SHIELD agent demanded that Iron Man, quote, hand over the case, Stark. What brand of briefcase was Tony Stark carrying?
You've got to be kidding me.
So first off, we have no pen for this.
Are you just trying to give Matthew a gimme?
So yeah, please.
This is the only way he gets trivia question
by
right.
By the way, I don't know the answer to this.
What? You can't say that. I was going to, whatever you said, I was just going to go with that was the answer.
Are you kidding me? No. Oh, my God. Matthew's rubbing off on you. I mean, you are so ridiculous.
I was going to say. I think I know, but whatever. It's
pretty
fine.
Sure it was a Samsonite.
I was just going to say it's a Samsonite.
Yeah,
that was what I was going to. It's the only brand I could think of.
Yeah. No, I have no idea. Avenger not a much of a briefcase material. Guy.
The truth is that it's a prop. it is a prop and it's all silver. And like, I remember holding it at one point, there's no tag on it because it's, you know what I mean? Like yeah. because it's a movie prop, like they take any identifying characteristics off of it unless Samsonite had paid for that. And I think because it's like this, you know, high end government case that is carrying the Tesseract, like it's not going to be, you just don't go to a store and buy a Samsonite. Like I'm going to have to, you know, haul the Tesseract across the country. What do you got for that? Like it's just, you know, it's a specially made shield case.
Sure.
So,
sure.
I love it. Wait, let's just talk about a dorky web toad.
Yeah. I mean,
is that
like,
accurate or no?
No, it is not accurate.
I was pretty sure you and Aquaman had that in common. Am I wrong?
You are wrong.
Aquaman is your favorite.
Yeah. Anyways, we got to go because we have to say goodbye to the stream. But we are back on Sunday morning with Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2. Read, love, hate, find all the content, the fantasy show on ESPN+. For Daniel and Stefania and me, Field, he's Matthew. We'll talk to you guys Monday.
Peace out. Fantasy, you're in the whole 6-0-1-0. Another 3 seconds of us sitting here awkwardly.